Jesus, Lord, you're worthy of all the glory and all the honor and all the praise. It makes me want to shout, hallelujah, thank you, Jesus, Lord, you're worthy of all the glory and all the honor and all the praise.
Oh, yeah,
it makes me want to shout, hallelujah, thank you, Jesus, Lord, you're worthy of all the glory and all the honor and all the praise. It makes me want to shout,
hallelujah,
hallelujah, thank you, Jesus, Lord, you're worthy of all the glory and all the honor and all the praise.
Sing it.
It makes me want to shout, hallelujah,
thank you, Jesus,
thank you, Jesus,
Lord,
you're worthy of all the glory and all the honor and all the praise. It makes me want to
praise God. It is so great to have Brother Steve and Sister Terry Spears here. As I said, they've been here for a few weeks with us now. And we're just going to have them come. And it's just been enjoyable to have them here. And you never know what they're going to do, because he never knows what he's going to do. I just asked him if he was ready for this morning, if he had a sermon ready, and he said he wasn't for sure, but not really. he didn't say that. He didn't say that. So let's welcome Brother Steve, Sister Terry Spears. God bless you.
What an awesome time of worship we've had. Love that song, "He Thought I Was Worth Saving." And I told Sister Russell, we were down here praying, he not only thought I was worth saving, he thought I was worth sustaining. And he has sustained me through many things, and I'm sure through a lot more. You can be seated. And I'm not going to take but a minute. Steve's going to bring the word to us. But I was praying last night and praying over your church and praying over what God is unleashing in this place. And we have talked several times about how that we're changing dimensions, we're changing into a new thing. And you can feel it when you walk in. You can feel the excitement. You can feel the anticipation. And we know God is about to do great things. But he only goes as far as individuals go. And we are a collective body, but we are individuals. And you know, God seems to show himself to some people more than others. That is not because he has favorites. God doesn't have favorites. We're all his kids. But there are some that choose to live in a different level and a different dimension. And I shared some of that with you on Friday night. And when you choose those things, he shows himself strong to you. But it is all about choices. And just like the sun doesn't shine as clearly through a dirty window as it does through a clean one, so is his love going to be shed through this community, because we have cleansed ourselves before him. And I reiterate what I said Friday night. I've had several ask, well, how do we move to this new level? We move to this new level by becoming more intimate with him and keeping our bodies and our souls and our spirits open to whatever it is he has for us. No blockage. Can you say no blockage? I want to be a free-flowing vessel of God that can be used however he chooses, whenever he chooses, and for whatever purpose he chooses it to be. Amen. You ready to take the journey with us? Yeah. Amen. I love you guys.
Well, hallelujah. So, Pastor did ask me if I'd gotten on the internet and found a sermon. Somehow those don't seem to work for me. I don't know. Anyway, we're having a lot of fun. We might as well be brothers because we're treating each other like we're brothers, and it's worked out great. Pastor, I love you. Thank God for you and all this team. Man, what a great team. What a great privilege to come to a church like this. Yeah. So there are a few books left. I don't know how many, but we'd sure not don't want to take them all home. So let's do this. Is there anybody here that wanted a book and you couldn't afford it? You? God's watching you. Okay. Come on. Amen. Anybody else? Anybody else? Well, come on. Hurry, hurry, hurry. You got what? You got a baby. I won't make you run out long. All right. Anybody else? We got two more books. Yep. Come on. Well, we got two moving at once. God have mercy. I'm glad I got two books left. Yeah, thank you. All right. Whew, boy, that was fun. Okay. God bless you. And if any of the rest of you want one and you just before God can't do it, you come see us. Because God is good to us. And there's only one way you keep that going. So, we're giving thanks to the Lord today for a great day in the house of the Lord. Good music, good worship, a good day outside. I learned something this morning. What I thought was just wet asphalt. Woo! I've done real good through all the snow and everything. Done real good. Walked real careful and, you know. But this morning going to the car, I looked down. I thought, well, it's been raining. Yeah, well, I took about four steps in about this much space. You should have seen it. It was like a great blessing had just hit me. And I was shouting the victory. Hallelujah. Thank God I stayed on my feet and all is well. So I shall be very careful the rest of the day. Anyway, I'm learning the ways of living in Wisconsin. Okay, God bless you. So, the little one or two or three sentences before the sermon is this. Environment is very important. Can you imagine a guy having a boat, tying a rope onto it, pulling it with his truck up the ramp and down the road, sparks flying, tearing holes in it, tore the motor off of it. I mean, it's just going down the road because that's not its environment. your environment is in the presence of the Lord and in the house of the Lord, and it's so important because that's where you can perform as He built you to perform. Because the one thing that's most important to Him is that you worship Him and talk to Him and have relationship with Him. So environment is amazing. That's why we come to church. We don't come to church to be seen. We come to church to be seen by Him and to worship Him and love Him. So let's worship Him together right now for a moment, would you? Oh, hallelujah. Praise God. Praise God. Thank you, Jesus. Thank you, Jesus. Thank you, Jesus. Oh, hallelujah. Thank you for being in the environment of Calvary and the blood of Jesus. So, I'm going to preach a few minutes this morning, and Terry is coming tonight, and boy, she got something for you, so you don't want to miss tonight. And it's going to be a great night in the Holy Ghost. This morning, though, I'm going to talk to you a little bit about this redemption plan that God gave us. And a lot of people are amazed when they really find out how and why. Why do I need to be in God's presence? Why do I need God's Spirit in me? Why I got it. I'm rejoicing in it, but I may not know why. I'm going to talk to you a little bit today, God's original plan for mankind. Yeah, would you shake hands with someone and tell them God had a plan for you? Yeah. And now would you turn the other way and tell them, but you messed it up? Yeah, buddy. Some of you royally messed it up. Yeah. Genesis 1 and 1, in the beginning, can you say it with me? God created the heavens and the earth. Now, the land and the seas and the plants and animals and birds and sea creatures all came forth at His spoken word. Let there be. Wouldn't that be amazing to just decide I'm going to create today? Have nothing better to do. I'm just going to create today. Today is the day for all the mammals. Today is the day for all the dinosaurs. And today is the day for, you know, just boom. God speaks and things happen. It has never failed. It's still going on today. Because if you need provision, He speaks it and it comes forth. If you need healing, He has already spoken it and it shall come forth. I'm telling you, whatever He says is going to happen. Yep. So verse 26 of Genesis 1, God said, let us make man in our image and our likeness. Let them rule over the fish of the sea and the birds of the air, over the livestock, over the earth, over all the creatures that move along the ground. Wow. Alligators, where I'm from. And so someone said, thank you, Jesus. Yeah. You're thanking the Lord that they're down there and not up here. Honestly, God, this has nothing to do with my sermon, but Terry and I were driving through a back road in Louisiana just not too long ago. And of course, down there in the cotton fields, tractors and cotton trailers rule. If they need the road, they just take the road. That's all there is to it. It probably. So I saw this giant tractor just sitting in the highway. I wondered, why in the world is he not moving till I got close? And across the road was coming the biggest gator you have ever seen in your life in the wild. And I'm going to tell you that Terry can verify I'm telling the truth. He had his head up like that. He was just coming. He was as wide as that. He was as long as that road was wide. I'm not kidding you. And so I parked. I got out and told him, no, believe me. I made sure the door was locked in case that sucker knew how to open a car door. I don't know how I got into that. Anyway, we waited on him to cross the road, and he could have it whenever he wanted it. So God created man in his own image. Boy, that's important. In the image of God, he created him, male and female, he created them. God blessed them and said, be fruitful and increase in number. Fill the earth and subdue it. Rule over the fish of the sea and the birds of the air and every other living creature that moves on the ground. Remember that God created man in his own image. Let's talk about that a little bit. Can you, smile at somebody. And that means I'm created just like God. I saw a couple ladies nod at him like, yeah, and don't forget it. Yeah. The crowning act of creation was a result of God's desire to have family. You got to understand that God hungers for relationship. God needs relationship. God wants relationship. He wanted someone to be his friend, and he wanted someone to live with him as a son. Oh, he could build another whole army of angels that would bow every time he walked by at his command. But he wanted a son who could walk with him and live with him and talk with him and love him. God's original plan was that man would share his authority. Do you understand that from the very beginning, God wanted you to share his power and his authority? I'm going to say it again. God wanted you to share his power. So don't you dare let the devil be getting you down today. God created you to share his authority. Get behind me, Satan. Yeah. So God wanted you to share his rulership, and rather than being a slave, that's why Jesus Christ is the King of Kings and Lord of Lords, not the King of Subjects. Because he wants us in his family. God was interested in a completely different kind of relationship than we normally think about when we talk about a king. He wanted sons who would not only be led by the king, but watch this, down on earth, would do what the king wanted with his authority. You know, if the governor, I'm sure, and I'm sure the president, they have people that could make a phone call here today and say he's coming. And so you have the job in this house today of saying he's coming. I represent him. He's my Lord. He's my Savior. That's what we're supposed to be. This relationship between God and man was so very important, and God shows us in creation that it's true. The first thing God gave man was his image and likeness. Have you ever seen a little baby? I saw one today that was so cute. Where did he go? Well, there's one. Would you hold that baby up? Hold him up. Come on, hold him up. Look at that. And he looks just like his dad. You see, that's what God wanted to happen. What does it mean when you have someone's likeness? Yeah. I'm trying to see somebody here, but I can't pick out anybody. But have you ever seen someone and you said, I don't really know you, but I know who you must be? I don't know you, but boy, you look like your dad, or you look like your uncle, or you look. Have you ever done that with people and actually get down to where you're practically calling names, but you really don't know who they are? I just want to tell you that you are made in the likeness of God. The likeness of God. Would you smile at your neighbor if you know you're not just an accident? I am not an accident. I'm a child of God. His blood flows through me. I'm a part of His family. I'm in His likeness. I'm in His image. I'm like Him. If I could get you to understand today, if I could quit preaching right now and everybody would leave here understanding that you're in His likeness and that you're in His image and you're just like Him, then there wouldn't be a devil within 1,000 miles of this church. Because you'd run them all off. There you go. The second thing God did for man was to place him in His presence. Which actually is the meaning of in the Hebrew of the word Eden. The Garden of Eden. Therefore, God's greatest desire was that man would act like Him and live with Him. If you want to act like Him, would you lift your hand right now? Father, I thank You. I want to act like You. When people see me, I want them to say, oh, you look like Him. You act like Him. You talk like Him. You sound like Him. Hallelujah, 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 hallelujah. Thank You, sweet Jesus. So the word image actually means resemblance in Strong's. Or the exact likeness. Therefore, to be made in God's image means that the man must resemble God and is actually a likeness of Him. He has God's nature and God's spiritual, moral character. I'm talking about when this thing all started. You were like Him. You thought like Him. Let me tell you, isn't it amazing that God would come down in that garden and just say, hey, what you been doing today? How's it going? How's all the fruit going? How's all the animals coming along? How's your life? How you feeling? What's happening? And that man would be able to talk to God on an equal basis. That's just amazing to me. It's astounding to me. So, God put man in His likeness and in His nature. God has priorities. Has anybody figured that out yet? God has lines where it either comes and we either stay inside and do what He wants us to do or we don't. God did not establish pious religious enactments. He did not give us things that we had to do to. We didn't have to bring anything with us today. We just were able to come and freely lift our hands and love the Lord. He came because He wanted relationship, and He gave us His image so that we could feel free to be in relationship with Him. So God's priorities were pretty simple. He wanted a relationship, and establishing and maintaining that relationship continues to be God's priority. Can I tell you that God wants you talking to Him today as much as He wants anything? He wants to hear you say, I love you, as much as He wants to hear anything. He wants to hear you say, you're my God, as much as anything. He wants to hear you say, thank you for filling me with your Spirit. What a wonderful day this is going to be, because I love you and you love me and I'm like you and you're the greatest thing that's ever been. And on a, let's just take a minute and do that. Thank you, Jesus. Thank you, Jesus. Oh, thank you, Jesus. Oh, hallelujah. So let me tell you, God is more concerned about our fellowship with Him than about the things that we do for Him. Now understand, there'll always be things that we can do for Him. And that's our job. But more important is our fellowship with Him, talking to Him, praying with Him, worshiping with Him, just having a conversation with Him. It's amazing. God wants relationship. That's the bottom line. Isn't it astounding that that God, according to the Scripture, with His finger, boom, put everything that's in the sky in the sky. You can read that sometime. It's in there. He put the firmament in the heavens with His fingers. Pew. That God with all that power wants to be my friend. How many are astounded by that? Yeah? Oh, hallelujah, hallelujah. So God created man for a specific purpose, and that is to have dominion over all the earth. And watch this, with an image that was different from all the rest of the creation. Whew. He created cows. Aren't you glad you don't look like them? Oh, I could go into a long thing here, but I won't. He created you in His image and gave you dominion. That's why the rest of the created world understand that something different has happened when you walk into their midst. That's what dominion is all about. So God created you to look like Him and not like His other creation. So you're in His image and you've got His vision. The Scripture plainly shows that God wanted man to be more like Him than the rest of the creation. So it's not just horses and cows and zebras and men. It's men and women above. Aren't you glad that God loved you enough that He made you special? He made you special. Psalms, I'm going to read Psalms 8, but He wanted you, and boy, here's a mind blower. He wanted you to think like Him. Oh, yeah, really? Yeah. What is man that you're mindful of him? Psalms 8. The son of man that you care for him. You made him a little lower than the heavenly beings and crowned him with glory and honor. You made him ruler over the works of your hands. And you put everything under his feet. Did you hear that? Everything is under your feet. Every problem is under your feet. Every circumstance is under your feet. Every need is under your feet. Every attitude is under your feet. Everything you're battling with and fighting with that comes from this earth is under your feet. You dominate over everything. It's time you lifted your hand and acted like it. Oh, come on, shout the praises of the Lord. Oh, hallelujah. So we were created to be in this wonderful, perfect environment called the garden. Think about it. The creation of man was God's greatest production. And when he got through, he said, very good. Very good. Sadly, what God intended for man to be and what man is are two different things. And the difference is a result of man's choice to disregard the principles of God that were a part of creation. God has principles. Our ability to be all he wants us to be hinges upon us obeying the principles established that he created for us. I'm telling you that in the beginning, he had this all set up where we were to be in perfect fellowship with him. We were going to talk every day in the garden in the heat of the day. He was going to take care of us. We were going to eat from heavenly fruit. We were going to be wonderful in heavenly places. And it was going to be a great life with him. But as Terry told you the other night, something entered the garden. I think we decided that it walked in. Is that what Brother Grant told us? It walked in because after it got cursed, it slithered out on its belly. So I don't know. But in any case, it entered God's perfect domain. And here's the thing. You would want to ask yourself, how in the world did that happen? How does that happen? How did he have permission to get into the garden? Because let me tell you, God will always create a scenario where you have a choice. So if you have the power to say, I want you to bow before me and tell me that you love me every hour, here it comes. It's just a robot. That means nothing. But when you have the opportunity to serve and love someone else, but you choose to serve and love him, then that's relationship. It's all about the choices that we make. And he set that up, and guess what? The two that were in the garden failed. So here we are, sin, sickness, mess in our world. So God's original plan was for everything to be perfect. Yeah, smile if you know that man messed that up. Yep. So then God set in motion a plan to get us all back together. Oh, hallelujah. I don't know why Jesus loved me. I don't know why he cared. But from the moment that couple messed up in the garden until now, God is trying to get things fixed again. So much so that he chose himself a body and came to earth. And from the first time that baby Jesus cried, he was on his way to Calvary because he wanted you and I to be back in the family. And somebody had to pay the price for what we did. So he came and died on a cross and took our sins in his body so that we could gather together in a church like this one this morning and lift a hand and say, I love you, Jesus, and him be able to say, I've already proven that I love you, but I really do love you back. And let's just love one another for a few minutes today. Go ahead and do that. Oh, hallelujah. 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 You see, the circle of redemption means that he had it fixed. We messed it up. And now by his grace and mercy, we have a chance to get grafted back in to what he wanted us to be to start with. Oh, hallelujah. So the principles of God are permanent. You were created to breathe oxygen. We needed it then, we need it now, and while we're on earth, we'll always need it. Do you know that when you get up so many thousand feet in the air, there is none? That's why they pressurize those airplane cabins. Yeah. I don't know if that means we're not supposed to fly or not. I'm not real sure. But God created it, and as a constant, it always remains. See, when God sets a priority, he doesn't change his mind for anyone or anything. His principles never change. His principles work anywhere. And I've just come to tell you that water will freeze at 32 degrees, whether you're in Wisconsin, Louisiana, or South America, or Alaska. When you get to his principle, that was 32 degrees, it's freezing. And when you get to his principle, which said, if you'll repent of your sins, be baptized, begin loving and praising me, I'll be your God and you can be my people. And whatever you need, I'll give you. I'll take care of you. We can speak the same language. I'm going to make sure that you're okay. Oh, thank you, Jesus. His principles also protect the product. Now, I'm about to step out of my field of expertise, so I stand to be corrected. But I know on the back of my shirt collar, it says either dry clean only, wash in warm water. What else can it say? I don't know. Wash in cold water. There. Yes. Yes. That's right. That's right. So, if I want that thing to keep looking as good as possible, have you ever seen someone and you liked them and you were their friend, but you could tell that sweater or that shirt had been washed 5,000 times. Yeah. And so if it's going to look good and perform correctly, you must follow the label instruction. And I just want to tell you that if it says, do not bleach, and you do, you have a new shirt. It's a different color. You wear it with a different outfit. It's lighter. You know, that's just what happens. And so, living for God, there is a label attached. Yeah. Somebody tell me what might be on that label. Repent of your sins. Get washed in my name. Start living for me. You see, receiving this Holy Ghost experience that's available here today is not just an accident. It's not just some take it or leave it. It's the circle of God trying to get you back. Because when you get full of his Spirit and you begin speaking in a new language and you become connected or grafted back in. You get put back into the experience that was in Eden, where we're supposed to have still been, but he made a plan for you to get back. So it's not a matter of do I have to do that? It's a matter of do I get to get back in there? Do I have the privilege of getting back where God wanted me? Woo, hallelujah. So you have to follow the rules. And then we find out that principles that God has, contain judgment. For example, God has a principle about fire. How many know what the principle about fire is? So you can stick your hand in the fire, yank it back out, and I don't care if you say God made me do that or the devil made me do that, you're getting burned. Because it was God's principle. And you went against God's principle. And so you pay the consequences. His principle and his rules contain judgment. That's why I want to lift my hands and praise him. I don't want his judgment. I want his love. I don't want his anger. I want his beautiful side. I don't want him to tell me to depart. I want him to tell me to get on in here. So I've come today to worship him and love him and praise him and adore him. Yeah. Whew. If you want a product to work, you have to do what it says, what the manufacturer says. And apparently a lot of us would rather be lawless and sinful than to obey the rules. That's what happened in the Garden of Eden. Not only physical death and pain, but also spiritual death, because we lost that initial Holy Spirit. Oh, wait, let's talk about that. God breathed into man what? The breath of life. Would you say God breathed in that first man? Come on, I want you to understand. God breathed in that first. Well, do you think that was about the same as you receiving the Holy Spirit? Just think about it. It was personal. And it was from God. And it was God's breath, which was God's Spirit. Well, we messed all of that up. And now the circle has come all the way around. So this morning, you have the opportunity to lift a hand, begin loving and praising God. And that same Spirit that breathed into man in the Garden of Eden is in this house right now. Ha ha. Sha ta bokoria handa la haya. And as you begin to love him and praise him, he begins to breathe himself into you. Oh, and you become a living soul once again. Somebody shout the victory with me. Oh, come on. Do you understand what I'm talking about? You need the Holy Ghost. You need the Spirit of God. It completes the circle of God's redemption. Why on earth would you not want it? Oh, come on, lift your hands and praise the Lord. Thank you, Jesus. Thank you, Jesus. Thank you, Jesus. Thank you, Jesus. Woo, boy, that Spirit is here right now. And it's here to fill you. It's here to fill you. Believe me, we haven't gone the full circle from the garden all the way to here today, which includes Calvary, for him to want you back in his family, but make it so hard that you can't get it. You can have the Holy Ghost in 1 minute. Some of you are looking at me like, I've seen it happen to too many people. 1 minute. How long does it take to die? Well, 1 minute you're alive, 1 minute you're not. And you got to die to sin, so the second that sin ends, boom, the Spirit of God can enter you. You can begin speaking in God's language. It's personal for you. And it's amazing what is going to happen in your life. Don't leave here today thinking, I'd like to get that, but I can't. Don't leave here today thinking, I'd like to get that, but that's for someone else, not me. And don't do that. Don't leave here saying, I've tried to get that before. You can get it this morning. It's free. It's available. I want to pray with you and see you get it. It's easy. If you're glad you got the Spirit of God in you, just wave your hand and praise His lovely name. Oh, hallelujah. So we needed to be restored. I'm going to continue along that line I was on a while ago about the washing. I learned my lesson about the bleach. But when you've got something that has got a lot of stain, then sometimes it takes a little something special. And you put it in the water. And in the water, as it begins to flow over the damaged product, all of the stain disappears. Somebody shout over that. Surely I don't have to preach that to you. You got it. You went down in that water. Somebody said in Jesus' name, before you could get your head back out of the water, your sins. Somebody glad you still don't have all of your sins. Wave your hand, praise the Lord. Shout the victory, jump up, do something. I used to be on my way to hell, but this morning I'm free from my sins. Hola, Moshandalahaya. Come on now. Rejoice over your salvation. Yeah. Rejoice over it. Rejoice over it. So I've come to tell you this morning, because you went through that process, welcome to restoration in Jesus Christ. Welcome to the healing of the body. Welcome to being whole in His family. Welcome to getting back into the relationship He wanted you in. Welcome to fellowship with God. Welcome to having time with your Creator. It's amazing to me that He had us all set up. We messed it, and He messed it up, and He said, okay, I'll fix that. So I'm telling you, whatever you've done with your life, wherever you've been, whoever you've been with, and whatever you've done to your body, I've just come to tell you, what can wash away my sins? Oh, if you're clean, come on and praise the Lord. Oh! And those that are standing are those that might have been the greatest sinners among us. Oh, hallelujah, hallelujah, hallelujah! Hey, surely that won't run out real quick. You'll just keep praising the Lord for a minute. Worship Him. Worship Him. You're getting back in relationship with Him. The circle of redemption is being completed in your life. So that relationship, you can keep standing, that relationship that he intended for us to have with him is restored when we begin speaking in tongues. It's not that I have to be one of those people that do that. I don't have to. But I sure want to. Here's my interpretation, as simple as it is, of speaking in tongues. After, you know, the first initial infilling is where we proof text that the Spirit has moved in us. I got to be able to say, I'm not just saying, well, I don't know, I think somewhere the Spirit of God might have moved in. No. I can take you to the place. I can tell you about the time when the Lord saved me. But then while I was worshiping him this morning, and I began to speak in tongues, it's like the world's longest set of jumper cables. One end clamped onto the throne of God, the other end clamped onto my heart. And we just began talking. He charged me up. He cut a bochanda lahaya. Lift your hands and speak in a heavenly language. Ooh. Oh, hallelujah. Shokoria handala boshara haya. Hananambo koria hayalaha. Hey, listen. Listen. If life has strained that relationship, if life has stolen your time, if life has just messed up your communication, if that desire to walk with him is not as strong as it was at one time, that don't mean you're a bad person. That just meant that God intended today for us to fix all the communication. Fear is faith in Satan, so get rid of it. Doubt is a tool that will ruin any relationship. If you feel weak this morning, it's because your joy is low. Somebody repeat after me. The joy of the Lord is my strength. If you're sad, depressed, and discouraged, you're going to be weak. But if you can just smile and clap your hands and raise your hands and dance and worship and love the Lord, then you will be strong. All right, listen. You guys are so much fun. You could just preach a long time, but if your physical body is suffering this morning, get down here. We're going to lay hands on you and God's going to heal you this morning. Come on. If you want to leave weeping and sorrow behind and enter into a life of joy, if you want to leave depression behind, get on down here. Come on, get on down here as close as you can. Remember, you were created to be a child of God who carries His authority. You were created to speak a word of faith. Somebody say, I'm well. Oh, come on. I'm healed. I'm delivered. I'm set free. I'm God's child. Speak His name in faith. Claim your place in the family bloodline. All of you down here, lift your hands to the Lord. Preachers, all you preachers, begin moving through the crowd, laying hands on people, believing for signs following.